So from the public's perspective, this has been an emotional few years for you. Can you tell us what audiences can expect from the new album?
This is a culmination of my life's work so far. I was under a lot of stress after my accident. But that's what the show is about. It's about rebirth.
Hey, watch your step, miss. I cleared our tables. Coming through.
So tell me, how many of you have cried yourself to sleep at night?
Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Pekovic, and this is episode number 191. Out now in Australian cinemas is Vox Lux, a provocative and captivating story about the making of a pop star from the dark depths of a tragedy. An incredibly well-performed and intriguing film that will leave much food for thought after the credits roll. Vox Lux is a mesmerizing and unique cinema experience made by who I feel is one of the best young filmmakers working today in Brady Corbet, who I'm very pleased to say joins me now. Brady, I thank you very much for joining me on my podcast.
Of course, thank you so much for having me.
Brady, there are so many elements to this film. It shows the life of a pop star. It's a commentary on pop culture and the relationship between violence and pop culture. For you, Brady, what was that first thing, that first spark that gave this story life and created this movie that you made?
I had just finished my previous movie, The Childhood of a Leader, in 2015, I guess it was. Basically, I had been living abroad for about 5 years. My wife and I had our baby in Norway. We had shot Childhood of a Leader in Hungary and done all of the post-production for the film in France and Belgium. And after, you know, many years of being away from New York City, which is my home, I decided that I wanted to make a movie set at home in New York that was about my own generation, because my previous movie was a historical movie. But I had decided that I would try and treat a story about this generation as a historical portrait. And then, you know, what's interesting is that as I kind of sat down to analyze some of what I feel are the defining notions and rhythms of this era, you know, I found that when I leaned into the curve of a lot of things that are commonplace in this day and age, that it's actually, you know, it was turning into a very, very dark comedy, and you know, I'd never made a comedy before in my life, and yet, you know, because the moment in time we're living in is inherently so absurd, it became a sort of absurdist operatic portrait of this character, and you know, her moment in the flow of time.
The thing that's really remarkable about your movie is that it's a film that feels huge in its themes, in its scope, and in its look, but it was shot in 22 days. When you have that type of restriction, time restriction, and budget restriction, how important is pre-production in that process to make sure that when you're ready to film, everything's ready to go and you can hit all those, everything you need to do? I mean, the stage performance itself must have taken a very long time to put everything together.
You know, it's a good question. It's true that at least the way that I know how to work, and there's not only one way, of course, but the way that works best for me is that when budget cuts inevitably arrive on my desk, and in this case, I was getting hit with them left and right, you know, every few hours over the course of our pre-production. The one thing that I would always beg of the production is to not cut my prep. I was like, you know, you can cut our principal days, but don't mess with my prep. And it's because, you know, otherwise we just wouldn't we'd be running around like chickens with our heads cut off. And the truth is that no matter how much experience you have, every film it brings a series of unique challenges. We ended up with a 22-day shoot, which of course I was, you know, not happy about. But the way that I've learned movies get made is that they get done as long as you don't stop making them.
Yep.
And so you just have to push, and it's frustrating, because of course even an extra few hours can make a great deal of difference in the outcome of a scene. But you know, we have pretty high standards, and the whole team, and you know, we did everything that we could with the time that we had. So I'm very proud of everyone's accomplishments, because we somehow managed to make a movie that was uniquely uncompromised.
Yep.
During a period where it's very, very difficult to make movies like this. It's not as easy as it was. And I grew up making movies all my life, acting in movies. And I remember a period of time when filmmaking was a little bit more peaceful. But you know, now to make a movie, especially a movie that's designed for a theater, for a theatrical experience, there's just not that much money for it because of the shifting landscape of streaming and all that stuff.
Yes, definitely. In no way does Vox Lux say there is a relationship between violence and pop music or anything of that kind. Having said that, though, there have been recent examples in the world. I'm talking about like the Bataclan Theatre incident with Eagles of Death Metal, Ariana Grande with Manchester, where those two worlds clash. When you were writing this screenplay, did those very fresh incidents stick in your mind whatsoever? Yes. Did they have any type of influence?
The Bataclan, yes, because the Bataclan happened around the same time that the screenplay was written. The Manchester bombing, no, that was a dark coincidence.
Mm.
Parkland was, of course, also a dark coincidence. The fact that there was a memorial held where victims, you know, sang original music that they had written in honor of their fallen classmates. All of that said, though, there have been almost as many mass shootings last year as there were days in the year, right? So there's nothing particularly prescient about the film. It's simply about life during wartime. And it's a sort of civil war over here. Is how it feels. I mean, because you know, I have a young daughter who has school shooting drills instead of fire drills at her school now. And it's perverse and it's ridiculous and it's nonsensical and yet it is happening. The country seems to be at times disintegrating before our very eyes. I'm an optimist, and I hope things will get better. There's some things that are so ingrained in this country and its conception of itself that it's hard for me to imagine much changing. at least not very quickly. So anyhow, you know, basically the idea of the movie was that that we live in a moment in time where these sort of clickbait headlines are meant to grab us in as extreme a way possible. And so, if you look at your Apple News updates, if you happen to have an iPhone, you have the day's headlines, and you will have, you know, for example, I can look at mine now. I have a story about a Nike shoe explosion at a basketball game.
Yep.
I have a story about R. Kelly charged with aggravated criminal sexual abuse. And Trump blocks federal funding for clinics providing abortions or abortion referrals. And then I have a story about the Kardashians.
Mm.
And the thing is that obviously this sort of collision in the national and international consciousness, because it is a global world that we're living in now, you know, the collision of pop culture updates as well as important valid news that we need to know about, it's all gotten a little bit mixed up, and there's something the movie is speaking to that internal conflict that it's created within us all, because every second of every day we are faced with an atrocity that we can choose to engage with or not. We can choose to watch or listen to something which distracts us from these things that are happening, or we can choose to dive in. And I think that the idea was that you have a film which opens, the first 10 minutes are a massacre.
Yep.
And the last 10 minutes are a pop concert. And that it would have this kind of perfect symmetry, and yet it leaves one feeling a little bit carved out, because you know the show is quite enjoyable and fascinating, but in the context of what's come before it, it's quite challenging. So I was interested in that about the rub of that we deal with, you know, that societal conflict.
Well, for everyone out there listening, Vox Lux out now in Australian cinemas, stars Natalie Portman and Jude Law. Brady, I just want to say once again, congratulations to you on this movie. I thought it was absolutely remarkable. It looks great. Had great. Everything was great in it. And I can't wait for your next film. And I thank you very much for your time today.
I really appreciate it. Have a great day.